the birds and turn, turn, turn. There we go. Great way to start the show as we take a look at the 2025 Wisconsin Phenology calendar with our guest back with us once again, Stan Temple, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW, current Senior Fellow with the Aldo Leopold Foundation, and talking with us about the phenology calendar and maybe a little about climate. Certainly it turns up in the calendar. I was looking a bit through it, and there's some things that we need to talk about relating to it. And want to hear from you. Do you pay attention to the birds or the other wildlife and track their behavior from season to season? Like me, do you have that Wisconsin phenology calendar nearby? I keep it right nearby, in fact, within a few feet of myself most days. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Stan Temple, welcome back. Good to have you
with
us.
It's good to be back, Larry. I think this is probably the 12th or 13th time we've done this annual update on what's happening in the phenology world.
It's always fun. It's always interesting. And, you know, you're a fellow, senior fellow with the Aldo Leopold Foundation. The foundation's had a busy year.
It has been a very busy year. Lots of events. It was the 75th anniversary of the publication of a Sand County Almanac, Aldo Leopold's masterwork. It's 100 years since Aldo Leopold played the lead role in designating the first wilderness area on public lands in the U.S. It's the Gila Wilderness in New Mexico. And boy, we've had some big events. Last weekend was the Great Midwest Crane Fest that we co-host with the International Crane Foundation. I think we had over 1,200 people come to take in the sight of 10,000 sandhill cranes staging on the Wisconsin River.
It's a fantastic organization, foundation, and it's great to know that things are going so well. And, you know, kind of, it may have been, was this the impetus of the phenology calendar, Aldo Leopold's work in this area?
It certainly was. Aldo Leopold, from childhood literally till the day he died in 1948, kept daily observations of the things that were happening in nature. And anyone who has read a Sand County Almanac knows that the first half of the book features essays month by month documenting the sort of iconic events that were happening here in South Central Wisconsin. So Aldo Leopold in the pantheon of phenology is very high ranking.
Well, phenology, for, you know, there may be from people not familiar with it. So remind us what phenology is.
It's quite simply, it's the study of the timing of seasonal events, keeping track of when key events in the lives of animals and plants or in the physical world happen each year. And people, of course, have been doing this probably ever since we became humans. It's important to keep track of how the seasons are changing, but we've become much more sophisticated in recent years. There are a lot of citizen science programs that allow naturalist observers to upload their observations so that scientists can try to make sense out of how the lives of plants and animals are shifting in response to climate change.
Yeah, and you know, I think it took a long time for phenology to become accepted as a legitimate science.
I think that's absolutely true. Aldo Leopold published a paper back in the 1947 on phenology, and boy, it was hardly cited at all, even though it was a major paper. It wasn't until 30-some years later when we started to worry about climate change that we suddenly realized that Aldo Leopold had left us this important historical marker of how plants and animals were arranging their annual cycles back in the 1930s and 1940s. And it became a real benchmark. Aldo Leopold's daughter, Nina Leopold Bradley, published a paper in the 1990s, one of the first, actually, to use historical information to document how plants and animals are adapting to climate change.
Amazing. And every year, the foundation puts out a Wisconsin phenology calendar. Of course, you make a pretty big contribution to that calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, the calendar every year, I mean, it is a calendar. So yeah. What we've done on the calendar part is to alert you to when you can reasonably expect to see certain events. And we've got several hundred of those events chronicled on the calendar. But we go a little bit further than that. We also, every year, have a topic that we explore in some depth. And this year, the topic that we're exploring, or for, I should say for next year, for 2025, we're exploring the concept of a thermal niche, that plants and animals have a range of temperatures in which they can thrive. And when the climate changes, either getting too hot or too cold, somehow plants and animals have to adapt to that. So what we discuss in the calendar is, how do all these creatures manage to shift their thermal niches when the environment changes? And they do it in three basic ways. One, obviously, is front and center in the phenology calendar, and that is that they can shift when certain key events like breeding happen during the year, so that it occurs in the right temperature range. Another way they could do it is by making some subtle shifts in where they live. Oh, an animal might, you know, move to the north side of a hill rather than the south side if things are getting too warm in the south. And finally, the third way that they could adjust to a changing climate is to just move a great distance, covering a lot of ground, to move to places either at higher latitudes, move northward, or move to higher elevations where the temperatures are cooler. And it does go both ways. You know, some plants and animals are actually not looking necessarily for getting away from the heat, but are taking advantage of our warming climate. So here in Wisconsin, for example, we have a lot of plants and animals that used to be found south of Wisconsin that are now turning up in our state as we become warmer and warmer and more like where they live to the south.
That's one of the interesting things about the calendar, in addition to the dates, this beautiful photography that's in the book. The sidebars are always, in some ways, the most interesting parts for me. And the North Carolina Wren, just for what you were talking about in your new calendar, you talk about the North Carolina Wren with, by the way, a beautiful photo of it. But
yeah, Carolina Wren, which is, you know, the featured species for the month of November 2025. And as their name implies, Carolina Wrens, you know, are typical, more typical of southern states. They've now, of course, moved into southern Wisconsin. And in the sidebar, where we talk about their movement northward, we also point out that if the climate continues warming as it has for the last 50 years, by 2050, they're going to be up in Wausau. So they are steadily moving, you know, northward as we get warmer. And, you know, just this week, I said, we had the Crane Fest.
Yeah.
Cranes, of course, are big birds. They can tolerate cold temperatures. And back in Aldo's day, cranes would have been leaving Wisconsin on migration late October, early November. Last year, the cranes didn't leave until early January, and they were back in early February. So the warming, the shorter winters, you know, winter coming later and spring coming earlier, has allowed them to spend a lot more time in Wisconsin than they used to.
Yeah. And you, because of Aldo Leopold's notations through the course of the year and then the observations through the Wisconsin Phenology Calendar since then, that particular area has warmed up.
It has, of course. I think we're all sort of finally getting the message that, you know, things are really changing with the climate in Wisconsin. And, you know, we've been warming a little over half a degree Fahrenheit every year. And most dramatic warming is actually happening in the winter. So things are changing that have big impacts on the lives of plants and animals. This is not some, you know, minor change. These are things that really require major adaptations for these animals and plants to thrive.
Yeah, I was thinking, it was like a plus 5 degrees over a relatively short period of time.
Yeah. Yeah, when you consider especially that some plants and animals have really narrow thermal niches, this range in which they're comfortable. So, and other animals, of course, have really wide temperature tolerance. We use the example of the common carp. Mm-hmm. A common carp can live in waters in a wide range of temperatures, anyway from 40 degrees up to 90 degrees, tepid bath water. But if you look at a lake trout can only live in very narrow range of temperature from 45 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit. So if you're a lake trout and the lake that you're in is warming, you're going to have to do some shifting to stay within that narrow range of temperatures in which you can thrive.
Our guest today, Stan Temple, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison, with us today to talk a little about the Aldo Leopold Foundation, but to highlight the 2025 Wisconsin Phenology Calendar. Questions for him, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking Phenology, the 2025 Wisconsin Phenology Calendar, with our guest today, Stan Temple, who is a senior fellow with the Aldo Leopold Foundation and really does yeoman work in getting this calendar put together every year, among other things that he does. Join in. Questions, give a call, 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. Mike and Marinette called, couldn't stay with us, but wants to know about the status of Mauritius kestrels in Wisconsin. Mauritius?
Okay, well, he's got my name attached correctly, but not the right geography. The Mauritius kestrel is found on the island of Mauritius out in the middle of the Indian Ocean, which is more or less infamous in conservation circles as the former home of the dodo bird. But back in the early 1970s, I launched a conservation program for the Mauritius kestrel, which at the time was the most endangered bird in the world. There are only 7 of them left. And the program over the decades has succeeded, so there are now over 700 of them. One of the many species that my students and I have worked on that fortunately have recovered thanks to our work.
He thinks there has been an increase in egrets and wonders if that's related to frog populations, perhaps.
Actually, the egrets are a good example of another southern species, sort of like Carolina wrens, that have been, they've always visited Wisconsin briefly, especially during the late summer when birds that have bred in the southern states kind of wander north. But now, of course, they're much more comfortable being in Wisconsin for much longer periods of time and are fairly regularly seen birds around the state.
The calendar itself, the photography, I want to go back to the photography a bit because it's one of the things that I enjoy having that kind of hung up. The photography is just outstanding. Describe some of that.
Yeah, nature photographers of Wisconsin, have discovered our phenology calendar as one of the premier places to display their skill at photography. And it is really remarkable, the images that they get, not only that they can capture, especially animals, doing amazing things, but that the images themselves are just remarkably crisp and just beautiful to look at. So, yeah, and clearly a lot of people take nature photography as a hobby and can produce these amazing images, and it's almost a competition really now for people to get a spot on the calendar. Whether their photograph gets picked largely depends on the plants and animals that we decide to focus on for the given year. But we have yet to put out a call for a good photo of a plant and animal that somebody didn't come up with the image we were after.
Oh, amazing. Todd has a cabin in the Shawamigan National Forest, which an area that I love to spend time in. Todd, what's on your mind?
Thanks for taking the call. I've been a supporter of the foundation and get the calendar every year and love it. But as I was listening to the program, I heard Kimberly Clark mentioned as a sponsor. And it got me to wonder, what are the large forest, I should say wood and paper manufacturers, those that use so much of the forest product, what are they doing to address the changes that we see in climate, being that our forests are integral to maintaining our climate?
Well, it's a good question, and you can be sure they are concerned about it, because some of the more important species, either for timber or for paper products, are shifting their range. And for plants, shifting your range takes time. Obviously, trees can't get up and move, so they have to depend on each year more and more of their seeds germinating in increasingly favorable places. But the climate is changing so rapidly that a lot of our forests in northern Wisconsin, up where you live, are essentially on the way out, in that the dominant species of plants, trees that live there, are shifting their range northward. The same is true of the wildlife that occurs there. You know, we think of the North Woods as being typical of certain types of wildlife, and some of those species are gradually shifting out of Wisconsin. Sort of an iconic species for the North Woods, like a ruffed grouse, are gradually shifting northward.
Todd, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And I should have done this earlier, but a caller phoned in and wants to order the calendar. And there's a number that wonders, hey, how can I call and order the calendar?
Probably the easiest way is to go to the Aldo Leopold Foundation website, which is simply aldoleopold.org. And in our bookstore, you can order the calendar, and it'll be on its way to you within a day. $16.95 this year, a real bargain.
It is indeed. Thanks so much for that question. Appreciate it. Steve in Osceola called to say that oak trees that hold their leaves through winter are wondering if are they a warmer weather species? Is that true? That
well, if you can come up with the definitive answer of why certain oak trees hang on to their lower leaves over the winter, you know, you got yourself a publication. But the prevailing idea is that oaks are very fire dependent, and by keeping the leaves on the tree over the winter, they can fall in the spring and support spring fire, whereas the leaves that fell the previous fall might be too damp. So there could be a possible explanation that this is actually in the tree's best interest to keep at least some of its leaves on through the winter and let them drop in the spring when they can fuel fire.
Well, it's interesting. I interviewed an author who had written about, among other things, light, and how light can have an impact on everything, and including trees. In the UK, there was some research done on city trees, comparing the light, the amount of light they get has actually changed how the trees, I think it's by about a week and a half, how they've kind of shifted their patterns with leaves and so forth.
Yeah, we've been talking mostly about how temperature affects the lives of plants and animals, but there is also photoperiod, day length. And many plants and animals time their seasonal events pretty precisely to how day length changes throughout the year. And if we disrupt that, obviously, with artificial illumination in town, there is clearly evidence that we can start shifting the annual cycles of plants. And of course, you know, lights and wildlife often have fatal consequences. So there's major conservation efforts now in most of our big cities, including Madison, to try to get tall glass buildings to turn off their lights at night during bird migration so that we're not killing millions and millions of songbirds as they're migrating fall and spring.
Diane in Iron County has a question for you about the calendar. Let's go there. Hi, Diane.
Hi. So, well, I bought the calendar a while ago, and then I would look at it, and I'd be like, oh, okay. But then I'd have to look 2 weeks in the future to see what, you know, or in the past to see what's really happening by me.
Yeah.
Is there some way that people could put their longitude in? You know, I buy the calendar, and then I go, and I put my longitude in, and then I can print one that where the dates shift.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, since we are featuring data from Aldo Leopold here in South Central Wisconsin, our calendar is most accurate for South Central Wisconsin. And every year on the calendar, we do include a little sidebar about Hopkins' Law. Hopkins was an American entomologist who, back in the 19th century, figured out that the dates on which things happened across the country actually were sort of orderly. And here in Wisconsin, for example, from the Illinois border all the way up to Lake Superior, there's about a 22-day difference in when things are likely to happen. And similarly, from east to west, there's about a 10-day difference between western Wisconsin and eastern Wisconsin. So yes, if you look at the dates that we are presenting for South Central Wisconsin, you may have to do some calculations to figure out how much late, well, since you're far north of us, how much later you could expect these events. But at least we've given you fair warning that it's coming.
There you go, Diane. John in Appleton, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi, Larry and guests. Thank you for both of all. Thank you for all you do. So I'm wondering, I'm a cross-country skier, and the last couple of years, it's been pretty slim pickings up here for doing that sport outdoors.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the guest has any thoughts, contrary to what the Farmer's Almanac says about how much snow we'll get this year. And thank you. Yeah. Thank you for all you do.
Yeah, we don't do weather forecasting. But the consequence of less snow is pretty serious for some plants and animals. And in fact, the January feature animal for next year is the American marten. And American martens in the winter do a lot of their hunting under the snow for rodents. And with less snow cover, they have less opportunity to do their hunting underneath the snow, where the temperatures are very much moderated, and are forced to do their hunting above the snow, where temperatures are more extreme. So the American marten is a species that's actually having trouble in northern Wisconsin for a number of reasons, but also because the winters are becoming milder. And like many of the species we've already mentioned, you know, martens are almost certainly going to be shifting their range northward.
Yeah, and fewer of them, unfortunately. John, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Well, I see we're starting to run out of, boy, this flew by.
Yeah.
So once again, let's go over, how do we get copies of the calendar?
Well, Larry, you always put the contact information up on your social media and website, but the easiest way for people to get their calendar is to go to aldoleopold.org, which is the website for the Leopold Foundation. Click on our bookstore. You can order your calendars for $16.95 each, and they'll be in the mail to you the next day.
It's amazing how fast that operation works anymore these days.
And we know a lot of people like to buy these as Christmas gifts. It's coming up, so people want to get them quickly.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Stan, to have you with us. I appreciate your time, not only your time just coming by, but all the time you've spent on this calendar and the other things you do. So Thank you so much.
And see you next year.
You'll be back, and we will do this all over again. Stan Temple, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology, currently Senior Fellow as well with the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Great to have him with us. And I want to thank you for listening in today. This and all the other shows that we do are a team effort. Our producers, we have Joel Patnod today, Clara Neipert, technical directors Jeff Robbins and Lee Rayburn, and our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. And, of course, I'm Larry Mueller, and I want to thank you so much for listening, and I hope you will please stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.